Oh, hello. Good evening. Good evening, everyone. You're welcome to tonight's Bible study. And indeed, God is able. He will not give up on you, and we should not give up on God as well. So I just want to welcome every one of us to tonight's Bible study. From wherever you're joining us, you're welcome. Please, you're encouraged to like and share the link for tonight's Bible study. There might just be someone who might really benefit from this. And we're just trusting God that we would all be blessed tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. So my name is Uche Obabuko. I'm standing in for Pastor Fola of Love Assembly, in case you're wondering why he's not the one speaking today. So we'll just be looking into a few things and just sort of like continuing from where we stopped last week. By God's grace, the Holy Spirit will speak to us and we'll all be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just want to join me and just shut your eyes as we just quickly pray to God and ask for his help this evening. Oh God, we invite you into our midst. We are empty. We ask that you fill us. We ask that your word will speak to us. Your word will encourage us. Your word will empower us. Your word will enlighten us. And we'll be the better for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So last week, so just by way of sort of like an overview, yes, I'm seeing some of the comments. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. So yeah, it's participatory as much as you can. If you're able to put in comments, and I think that would also be very helpful. All right. So our theme for this month, in case you probably are just joining us for the first time, is Declutter My Heart. That's our theme for the month. It was received last year during our retreats, 12-day retreats we do at the end of every year. So it was received on the first day of the retreat, representing January, the first month of this year. And we've been looking at it this month, and we thank God for all the people he's been using to bless us with ministrations, revelations, words of knowledge, explanations, exhortations. We can go on and on. It's really been very powerful, very liberating so far. I personally have been blessed. Even the prayers we had just before we came on at 6 p.m., just so many, things that were, released during those prayers. And in fact, some of the things I will even be sharing today are just maybe even repetitions or maybe reinforcing some of the things that a number of people have already shared with us so far this month. So we thank God because we can't have too much of this. We can't overemphasize some of these things. It's the word of God. You can't have too much of the word of God. And if these things are coming this frequently, being repeated through various sources, then it means that there's a particular emphasis from God, in this season for us to listen to these things and to do these things. So I'll just like to start by doing a quick revision of last week. Last week we looked at the story of Jesus Christ going into the temple, where there was buying and selling. And Jesus Christ came and he drove out, all the people who were supposed to be praying. So Jesus Christ drove them out and said that my house is supposed to be a house of prayer, but you've turned it into a place of trade, a trades place. So he drove them out, and then there was an account in the New Testament that basically said that he was then able to perform miracles. He was able to heal the blind. He was able to heal the lame. And these were things that were not, he couldn't do because there was, the place was cluttered, if we could use that term. And Pastor talked about, how the temple was basically a metaphor for us, so we are the temple. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus Christ coming in was Jesus Christ coming to clean out all the clutter, clean out all the things that weren't supposed to be there, just as he does for us, and give the opportunity for people to be saved, people who were inviting Jesus Christ into their lives, just so that the way he entered the temple, he could enter into our hearts and clean out whatever needs to be cleaned out, so that he can do his good work. So, and then Pastor said that we'll be looking at 2 Chronicles this week, which we'll be doing so in a bit. So I basically titled today's study God's Word, a Decluttering Guide. God's Word, a Decluttering Guide. And the reason I just basically phrased it that way is, as we go on and on about decluttering, it's very easy for us to fall into a pattern of, I would say, learned behavior. And by that, I mean, doing things the way you feel best or the way you think is best. You might think you know yourself, to an extent. After all, you've lived with yourself all these number of years, So to you, you really might think that, I know what's best for me. So whatever clutter means to me, I know how best to deal with it. And you might be basing it on previous experiences, your previous walk with God. Let's say you've been a Christian for a number of years, and God has maybe dealt with you in a particular way up until now. So it's very possible for you to take all that and say that, okay, based on how God dealt with me last year or 4 years ago or when I was in a similar situation in the past, I'm just going to use that same formula, use that same pattern and deal with whatever, I'm facing right now. So it's very important that we realize, we recognize, and we internalize the fact that it's God's word that guides us through this process. God's word, the word of God, the Bible, scriptures, the Holy Spirit, they carry what I like to think of as, a very personalized or individualized genetic material for you. It's very individualized in the sense that, it's just the same way one person reads a verse in the Bible and, something ministers to the person, and the person sees one thing, and someone else reads the same verse and sees a completely different thing. It's the same verse, but it's the Spirit of God working through it to reach people differently. So that's what the Word of God, that's how the Word of God is. It's one of the most amazing things, in my own work as a Christian, that's probably one of the most amazing things I found, about the Word of God, how you can read the same verse every day for a week and, get something completely different, every single day. So I'm emphasizing this because if at the end of today's study we realize that we need to use God's word as our guide, to guide us through this process, whatever that process looks like for you, then at the end of the day, you'll be better off. You wouldn't end up being frustrated. You wouldn't, it won't be a failed process for you. It won't be a question of you having spent so much time and so much effort at the end of the day feeling like you haven't really achieved much. So God's word, a decluttering guide, and our theme for the month is, declutter my heart. Now, I was, when I joined in the prayers this evening, our brother Izipe, God bless you, that led us. He just reminded us of the fact that, our theme for the year is being transformed from glory to glory. And, like I always say, and, like so many people keep saying, it's important we realize that our lives are not divided or not segregated by, the Gregorian calendar. Don't see yourself or don't see your life as divided into years. I think it's probably better, in my opinion anyway, to see your life as maybe divided more into seasons, than years. So you have a season where God is maybe dealing with you on a particular issue, or is maybe bringing out a particular thing in you, or showing you something, and so on and so forth. In that sense, rather than seeing your life as, okay, 2021, 2022, this was me last year, and so on. For secular purposes, it's fine. You want to apply for a job, you can say that, okay, well, 2 years ago, I applied for this job, I got it, or I didn't get it, or this is where I previously worked, I worked from here to here, or I was in school from so period. So for secular purposes, it works. But as a Christian, it's important that you see yourself as just a continuum, and it doesn't stop, up until even when you die, we have eternal life with Christ. So being transformed from glory to glory is not a 2023 thing. If there are lessons, that you're learning now that you could have learned 4 years ago, then fantastic. If there are things you're learning now that are going to serve you well from now going forward, then, amazing. But see it as a continuum, basically. All right. So being transformed from glory to glory. So our brother basically emphasized that we don't get caught up in buzzwords. Don't, get caught up in the repetition of declutter to the point where it loses its meaning And also, you then lose the big picture. The big picture is that God is trying to transform us from glory to glory. He's trying to transform us into his very own image. You know, as we'll see in our study today, the end purpose is for us to be revived, is for us to be like him, is for us to walk like him, think like him, basically be Christian, Christ-like, for us to be Christ-like indeed, for us to reflect the very nature of God, to reflect the image of God. That's the end purpose of it. So that we are not decluttering just for the purpose of decluttering. You know, one of the reasons why that is important is because if you don't realize the big purpose or the big picture, then chances are from decluttering, you'd end up recluttering. So declutter, you remove clutter, then reclutter, you know, the clutter comes back in. Okay, so I would just like to start by, you know, asking us a question, you know, for us to think about. And if you even want to put comments, you can put some comments, you know, and the question is, what does clutter mean to you? You know, and you don't necessarily, in fact, let's even remove the maybe more, I'll say, spiritual side of things. You know, in terms of, you know, clutter, when you look through your house or you look through your car or you look through your belongings, what sort of things generally tend to constitute clutter for you? You know, the reason I ask is because some of us have tendencies. We have tendencies to gather certain things. So some of us are hoarders of maybe paper, documents, you know, receipts. You know, I know somebody who has receipts going back, you know, many years back, receipts for all sorts of things, things that don't even matter. You know, just keeping them, I really don't know what the person is keeping it for. You know, some of us, you know, and yeah, I'm looking at the comments, you know, so if you know what yours is, you know, just put it there. You know, like Pastor likes to say, we'll keep it, you know, simple, easy, and very light this evening. Junk, yes. So junk is also a very vague term. Junk can mean anything, but yeah, I get what you mean. So, you know, I mean, I remember when I got a treadmill, you know, where I lived previously, and I was very excited when I got the treadmill, you know, the New Year goals and things like that, you know, but when I started using the treadmill, I realized that the treadmill wasn't really fit for purpose. It wasn't very stable and things like that. And then, you know, people start saying, oh, you know, it's occluding this space where it is, you know, it could be in a better place. And then, you know, moved it to a different place. And then from there, it went into the garage and then it became clutter. You know, I remember my dad growing up, you know, any new gadget he sees, you know, he'll be like, I'm getting this, you know, that we really need this. He gets very excited about it. We get it. And then we see it around for maybe a week, 2 weeks. And then the next thing, we don't see it again. Only for us to maybe when we're moving house, we then see it in the store, in the garage, or something. So, you know, thinking about your life, you may just, and these are just very simple examples. And yes, maybe it's very practical and maybe it applies to you, you know. And then if you take it a step further, you may then realize that, you know, that I have a tendency to accumulate certain things. You know, so people who have led us in prayers this month, you know, have mentioned all sorts of things that constitute clutter or can constitute clutter. And it's important we ask these questions because one of the things we'll be looking at is, you know, how did I get here? You know, Uncle Ezipe called it an audit. There's some people call it like a root cause analysis or something like that. You know, when you try and go back to the beginning and ask yourself, how did I, you know, accumulate this much clutter? What's the source of the clutter? Where is it coming from? How is it coming? You know, does it come at certain times? You know, do I have a tendency to just accumulate certain maybe negative attitudes, negative thoughts, negative practices, certain vices? Am I more prone to picking up certain bad habits? You know, for instance, time management, is that an issue for me over time? Do I just find out I'm a procrastinator? You know, I procrastinate this, I procrastinate that. So at the end of the day, procrastination just forms a big part of, you know, clutter for me. You know, could it be relationships? Am I just, you know, does it just seem that I just have a lot of toxic relationships around me? You know, some unused items that we hold on to that occupy space, mostly not useful to us. Okay, so that's Samuel's comment. Thank you very much. And keep the comments coming. You know, whatever you feel like, you know, please just put it in there. Okay, so we're going to be looking today. So I said, you know, ask yourself what clutter means. And it's something you should ask yourself, not just throughout this study, but throughout this month, throughout this year, and for the rest of your life, because decluttering is not something we're going to stop doing maybe at the end of January. It's something you have to periodically, every time the Holy Spirit prompts you, point out certain things to you, you're going to have to keep doing it all over and over again. And one of the reasons why is because we have a tendency to reaccumulate, clutter. For I think there was someone who was leading us, was it last week, who said that he cleared out and then only to realize some months down the line that, the same things, had sort of like just piled up all over again. And then there was something Brezipe said. He said, a lot of times clutter, when it comes in, it's usually something useful initially. So it looks like something good initially, something comes in, whether it's something physical, whether it's something emotional, maybe something even spiritual, but you don't put it to use or you use it for a while and then you leave it and then it piles up, gathers dust, and then it becomes clutter. So ask yourself, what clutter means to you, because everything is personalized. Like I was saying initially, God's word is very bespoke, it's very individualized for you. So as we go through this study, you need to be asking yourself, how does this apply to me? So even if what we discuss or what we speak of generally doesn't, apply to you generally, ask the Holy Spirit to transform what you're hearing into something that's personalized that really applies to your own situation. So we're going to be looking at 2 Chronicles, and we're basically looking at Hezekiah's story. Before we go into 2 Chronicles 29, we're going to start at 28, and we're just going to read the latter part of 28. And the reason we're doing that is so that we have good context, of what's happening with Hezekiah. So has 2 Chronicles 29, for those of you who have been joining in prayers and everything we've been doing, is probably very familiar to you right now. We've read it a number of times, so I'll just be reading and emphasizing certain verses. But to summarize, it's the story of Hezekiah who had become king and then, was moved to clean out the temple, to clean out the utensils, to basically do a deep clean, to basically declutter the temple, spoke to the Levites, the priests, they did it, and he was able to rededicate the temple, was able to reinstitute, the temple worship, worship in the temple of God at the time. And as we know, we are now the temples of God. So when you're reading about the temple, you're putting yourself there, and everything that was going on with the temple, you're putting yourself there. So that's basically what happened in 2 Chronicles 29. But in 2 Chronicles 28, the chapter before, the latter part of the chapter, the whole of the chapter basically talks about the father of King Hezekiah, and his name was King Ahaz. And King Ahaz, was one of the worst kings, of Judah. He did not do what was right in the sight of God. He was basically the one that created the clutter for Hezekiah. He was basically the one that created the mess. So we're just going to start from the latter part of the story so that we understand, how Hezekiah got to where he was. I remember we're asking ourselves, one of the things you have to ask yourself is, how did I get here? How did I get to this point where there is just so much clutter everywhere? All right, so 2 Chronicles, chapter 28, and I'll just start reading from verse 21. So what's happening here is that King Ahaz is under attack by the Assyrian king, and he's basically looking for help. So he basically has clutter of his own. He has a mess, and then we see how he deals with it. So I'll just start reading from 21. So 2 Chronicles 28 from verse 21. Although Ahaz plundered the Lord's temple and the palace of the king and of the rulers and gave the plunder to the king of Assyria, it did not help him. So one of the first things he tried to do was he tried to bribe the king of Assyria, giving him the things that were holy, that were, supposed to be in the temple, and he gave it to him, but it didn't help. King Assyria took the bribe but said, "Man, I'm still coming for you." Okay, so verse 22, at the time of his distress, King Ahaz himself became more unfaithful to the Lord. Now, take a note of that. He sacrificed to the gods of Damascus, which had defeated him. So he had been previously been defeated by even these fake gods. So he felt like if these gods had defeated, he didn't actually realize that it was actually God, that's the Almighty God that was basically dealing with him. He had come under judgment because of all his sinful actions and things like that. He was defeated by, small g idols. And he thought that, okay, if these people defeated me previously, then maybe I could turn to them for help. So he said, "Since the gods of the kings of Aram are helping them, I will sacrifice to them so that they will help me." But they were the downfall of him and of all Israel. Verse 24, then Ahaz gathered up the utensils of God's temple, cut them into pieces, shut the doors of the Lord's temple, and made himself altars on every street corner in Jerusalem. He made high places in every city of Judah to offer incense to other gods and he angered the Lord, the God of his ancestors. So none of these things helped him. The rest of the chapter just talks about his death. It says Ahaz rested with his fathers and was buried in the city in Jerusalem, but they did not bring him into the tombs of the kings of Israel. And this was because basically of the kind of life he had lived. His son Hezekiah became king in his place. So we then move on to 29 from verse 1. So we know what has happened just before Hezekiah became king. So Hezekiah was 25 years old when he became king. Many of us on this study are over 25. But just think of what you were like at the age of 25. King Ahaz himself, that's his father, was actually became king at the age of 20. So these were young men who were given a lot of responsibility. And it says, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah. He did what was right in the Lord's sight, just as his ancestor David had done. You know, so it's just to, you know, repeat something that someone mentioned, you know, during prayers. And, you know, it's something that's quite striking, you know, when you read this. You know, Hezekiah had an ungodly man as father, so he didn't have a good example. You know, and if you're asking yourself, you know, because sometimes you have mess that you created and then you have mess that was created on your behalf. You know, I hear, you know, when you go through social media, this is just, you know, you hear some people make comments, people from a certain country or certain countries, you know, because it's not just one country. And you hear comments like, oh God, why was I born in this country? Why was I not born in a maybe developed country or something like that? You know, so people saying those things are basically alluding to the fact that a mess was created even before they were born and they had no say in it. You know, so it's possible that you could be, you know, you could have just met a really bad situation. Maybe you were born into a broken family or a broken home, you know, no father, no mother, or maybe no, you know, became orphaned early, or maybe you were just born into a family where they didn't even worship God. Maybe you were born into an idolatrous and unbelieving family. Or maybe you were born into a family where, you know, there was just a lot of poverty, a lot of negativity, a lot of toxicity, you know. So Hezekiah, in his case, did not have a godly example to follow. So it would have been very easy for him to make that excuse and say, well, I don't really have a choice. The man, the king that came before me was, you know, was ungodly, and I'll just follow him. I'll just do as my father did. You know, but he decided to start to chart a new course for himself. And later I'll be looking at, because remember our topic for today's study is God's word and the cluttering guide. And you basically see how the God's word basically guided King Hezekiah throughout all his life, throughout his actions, at least as we read in this chapter. And, you know, like I said, you know, apply that to yourself, because you really need to personalize God's word, you know, for yourself. Okay, so basically, so we just highlighted the fact that Hezekiah did not have godly examples. You know, so when you look around yourself, he didn't have all the right tools to succeed, you know, the way they'll probably say it today, you know, giving you the right tools to succeed. You know, it was not the most conducive environment, because it would have been a whole lot easier if King Ahaz, his father, had served God. Or let's say maybe even King Ahaz had, maybe, you know, there are some kings that the Bible talks about that, you know, did what was right in the sight of God, but their heart was not perfect towards him. So maybe it would have been better if Ahaz was a half and half kind of king, so that at least, you know, Hezekiah would say, okay, let me just take the good and leave the bad. But reading about the life of King Ahaz, we really didn't see much good examples for him to have, you know, drawn from. So, you know, if that's you, then just start asking the Holy Spirit, because throughout this study, you know, it's almost kind of like a reflective study. You know, as we highlight certain things, you ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you, and you're praying. You know, it's a prayerful thing. You know, something hits you and then you just, you know, say a quick prayer and you ask the Holy Spirit for help. So if you were in any of those situations I mentioned earlier, you were basically born into a mess, or you met a mess, you know, maybe something that really wasn't a fault of yours, you know, and that's what you're dealing with right now. So let's say you're in a marriage, for instance, and then you're married to someone who's actually broken. Maybe it wasn't previously clear, maybe when you were dating, and then you get married and now realize that, oh my God, this lady or this man is, you know, harboring so much, you know, bitterness, so much hurt, so much pain. You know, that's not your making, but it's what you're faced with. or you have a child born to you that is struggling academically, is struggling in one area or the other. It's not a mess of your own making, but it's the hands that you've been dealt with. So it's what's right in front of you. So how do you deal with it going forward? So let's just continue reading. So verse 3 says, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the Lord's temple and repaired them. Now, previously we had read that his father had shut those doors, but it says in the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the Lord's temple and repaired them. When I read the verse, one of the first things that strikes me is it seemed like Hezekiah understood the urgency of what needed to be done. And it's the same sort of urgency that every one of us, listening or watching, have to feel tonight. You could say, I've made so many mistakes. I've already lost a lot of time. I've lost opportunities. It does not matter because today is the appointed day of salvation. The Bible says that now, if you hear the word of God, do not harden your hearts like the Israelites did in the wilderness. So at every point you hear the word of God and you have the opportunity to do something or to change something, then that becomes your own first year, first month. Basically, that's what I'm trying to say. So Hezekiah understood the urgency. He didn't wait for 5 years down the line. He didn't wait until things go any worse. He knew that Israel was estranged from God. God's judgment was upon the land. And he knew that there really wasn't any time to waste. So in the very first month, and lo and behold, we're in January, is the first month of the year. So you could actually use that as maybe symbolic, and just key into that. But basically, he understood the urgency and he acted. If God is telling you to do something, if there's something pressing, if there's something that God has been bringing to your attention, maybe a recurring issue, do not put it off any further. Don't postpone it, just act. So it says that he opened the doors of the Lord's temple and repaired them. That for me is also quite symbolic. Opening the temple, opening your heart. The word of God comes to teach us, to convict us, to encourage us, to change the way we think, change our decision-making process, change our behaviors, change our attitudes. But you have to open your heart. Hezekiah opened the doors of the temple, and that was symbolic because there was no cleansing, there was no decluttering that was going to take place while the doors of the temple were shut. It wasn't something that the priests or the Levites were going to do. He had to do it in his authority and his position as the king of the land. So this is something that you have to do. No one's going to do it for you. Your pastor is not going to do it for you. The Holy Spirit is not going to do it for you. Nobody will do it for you. You have to open your heart by yourself. You have to make that decision that, I'm going to open my heart. I'm going to be receptive to God's word. I'm going to be receptive to the promptings of the Spirit. I'm going to be receptive to the changes that God wants to make in my life. I'm going to be receptive to the decluttering process. Because, this is something that happens often with people who have been in church for a long time. After a while, you don't even know it when the door of your heart just gradually just creaks, 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 and then it just shuts. Just not the type of door that just bangs shut. It just gradually, maybe over 5 years, over 10 years, it just gradually shuts. Maybe years of you waiting for, a promise of God to be fulfilled in your life. You're waiting for a child, you're waiting for a husband, you're waiting for a wife, you're waiting for a job, waiting for a promotion, waiting for your papers to go through. So over years, your heart just hardens to the point where the door is now shut, but you don't know it. On the surface, it looks like everything is okay, but the door of your heart has been shut. You've now become hardened to the point where when you hear certain things, you just scoff. You just shrug. You're like, it no longer has any impact. And as a result, the Holy Spirit isn't able to do what he wants to do. You're not living at optimal capacity because that part of your heart has been shut. Okay, so let's read on, verse 4. Then he brought in the priests and Levites and gathered them in the eastern public square. And he said to them, just before we continue, I was saying this earlier, how did King Hezekiah know what to do? How did he know that, they had gone off the right path, and how did he know the right path that the land needed to be turned to? And the answer is God's word. He knew God's word. I don't know. I mean, the Bible doesn't tell us. Maybe it says it somewhere that I haven't read. So I don't know how he knew. Maybe growing up in the king's court, he had the option. You know, then, at least with the little I know, excuse me, they would usually have lots of teachers, you know, who were often like philosophers. And maybe they had the options, you know, of, you know, what to study. You know, just like Jesus Christ did, you know, when he went to the temple and he was teaching the priests and the teachers of the law, maybe Hezekiah growing up just decided that, you know, amongst all the other things I'm going to learn as a prince, maybe military studies, war studies, philosophy, arts, you know, and all whatnot, you know, I'm going to learn the word of the law. I'm going to find out the priests, you know, appointed to the king, you know, because they all had priests or, you know, prophets that were appointed to the king, and go and seek him. And find out, you know, what is Israel supposed to do? You know, how are we supposed to live? How are we supposed to, what's our relationship with God supposed to be like? What are the laws he has given to the land that we're supposed to be abiding by? So, you know, I suspect that that's probably, you know, what he did to the point where he knew what was expected of him. So if we open our Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 9, 3 to 9, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, 15, verse 15, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 25, you can read that in your own time. You know, it mentions, you know, the curses that God put upon the land if they disobeyed him. These were the laws that he gave Moses. And, you know, based on their culture, then they would usually pass these things down. So I'm pretty sure, well, okay, I wouldn't say I'm pretty sure, but it's possible that his father also knew these things. Maybe it had also been passed down to him, but he just decided to disregard them. So if we open our Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 9, 3 to 9, I'm just going to read very quickly, but it's just to bring out, you know, just to emphasize how King Hezekiah was guided by the word of the law. Now, this passage we're reading was the Lord's response to Solomon after he had dedicated the temple that he had built previously. The Lord, so I read from verse 3, the Lord said to him, I have heard your prayer and petition you have made before me. I have consecrated this temple you have built to put my name there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there at all times. As for you, if you walk before me as your father David walked, with a heart of integrity and in what is right, doing everything I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and ordinances, I will establish your royal throne over Israel forever, as I promised your father David. You will never fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. Verse 6, if you or your sons turn away from following me and do not keep my commands, my statutes that I have set before you, and if you go and serve other gods and bow in worship to them, I will cut off Israel from the land I gave them, and I will reject the temple I sanctified for my name. Israel will become an object of scorn and ridicule among all the peoples. Though this temple is now exalted, everyone who passes by will be appalled and will scoff. They will say, why did the Lord do this to this land and this temple? Then they will say, because they abandoned the Lord their God, who brought their ancestors out of the land of Egypt. They held on to other gods and bowed in worship to them and served them. Because of this, the Lord brought all this ruin on them. So basically, this was what guided this, and I'm sure a lot of other, you know, scriptures, you know, basically God's word previously to previous kings and their ancestors, you know, like the patriarchs. You know, these things have been passed down from generation to generation. And Hezekiah was aware of this, and this was what guided him in deciding that, you know what, as king, my very first action, you know, before doing anything else, is to remove us from under the judgment of God and be reconciled to him. So in verse 5 of 2 Chronicles 29, we keep reading. He said to them, hear me, Levites, consecrate yourselves now and consecrate the temple of the Lord, the God of your ancestors. Remove everything impure from the holy place. You know, for our fathers were unfaithful and did what is evil in the sight of the Lord our God. They abandoned him, turned their faces away from the Lord's dwelling place, and turned their backs on him. They also closed the doors of the portico, extinguished the lamps, did not burn incense, and did not offer burnt offerings in the holy place of the God of Israel. Therefore, the wrath of the Lord was on Judah and Jerusalem, and he made them an object of terror, horror, and mockery, as you see with your own eyes. Our fathers fell by the sword, and our sons, our daughters, and our wives are in captivity because of this. It is in my heart now to make a covenant with the Lord. You know, so let's just pause there. You know, it said, he told the Levites, hear me, Levites. You know, so he gathered the priests and the Levites. Now, I was reading this and just sort of like background to this, and it said that all the while that, King Ahaz, that's his father, was king, these priests and Levites were there, but they were basically unemployed. They really didn't have anything to do because the king really didn't have any need for them. So he had basically probably pushed them out of the temple. Only God knows how they were maybe fending for themselves or what they had gotten themselves up to. But King Hezekiah, and when I thought about it, I tried to put myself in his shoes, and I found that it wouldn't have been easy. He had to fight a lot of inertia. Inertia, when I say inertia, I mean like a lot of resistance, a lot of reluctance. If we listen to the message from the retreat last year, one of the things that Pastor Gary mentioned was, what voices or what sounds are you hearing? And I'm sure at this point he was hearing all sorts of sounds that were probably like, do you really need to? Is that really the priority right now? It's too much effort. All the Levites are scattered. The priests, who even knows where they are? We're going to have to, we'll need to send search parties or something. How are we going to find them? They are no longer in the temple. They are scattered all over. Who knows? Maybe they've even taken up other jobs. So probably a lot of spiritual inertia, and it's the same thing with us. At the point when you decide to open your heart to God, there's usually a sort of pushback. There's usually a lot of resistance, because things of the flesh, are usually in enmity to things of the spirit. I mean, simple examples, if you choose to fast, even a 6 hour fast, not even a 2 hour fast, any sort of fast, your body starts telling you, really, really, and starts fighting back. So maybe when you didn't want to fast and you just maybe hadn't eaten for a number of hours, you didn't feel anything. But the moment you say that, okay, I'm going to consecrate myself and I'm going to just bring out 6 hours, 30 minutes later, your body's telling you, you really need to eat something. You are hungry. You start hearing those kind of voices. And that was a simple example, but you can extrapolate it to virtually anything. You start to cut out a habit, you start to cut out certain friends, and there's pushback. You start to stop doing something. You start to stop going places, and there is pushback. So your flesh is always going to fight back. There's always going to be some sort of resistance. But we thank God because the Bible says that, thanks be to God who leads us in triumphal procession in Christ Jesus. So we are winners and we have already won in Christ Jesus. So we have God fighting for us. You have the Holy Spirit in you that helps you to overcome all the inertia. So it says, consecrate yourselves now and consecrate the temple of the Lord. So the priests and the Levites had to be consecrated first before they could consecrate the temple, before they could do any cleaning. So there's a call for consecration to every one of us today. Before you go off on any sort of agenda, any project, okay, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to arrange my life now. Okay, this is how I'm going to manage my time. Okay, this is how I'm going to do things. These are the habits I'm going to stop doing. These are things I'm going to start reading my Bible this way. I'm going to start praying. I'm going to start doing this, doing that. Before you go off on any of that, you need to first of all consecrate yourself. You need to sanctify yourself. You need to make sure that you yourself are clean, that you have been washed by the water of the word. So in verse 10, so we've read up to that point, and it says, it is in my heart now to make a covenant with the Lord, the God of Israel, so that his burning anger may turn away from us. My sons, don't be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand in his presence, to serve him, and to be his ministers and burners of incense. It is in my heart now to make a covenant with the Lord. It's still basically repeating what we're saying. What is in your heart now? What is your priority? What's driving you at this point in time? Every year, people talk about New Year resolutions and people make all sorts of lists. But, is your topmost resolution, is your topmost priority to be made right with God, to consecrate yourself to God? Because that was what, and like I said, this is Hezekiah's story. This is Hezekiah's story, his own decluttering journey. Every one of us are going to have a different journey. Yes, we can lift up lessons from his own journey, but, your own situation is likely going to look a bit different. But for him, he had become king and he felt like this was a priority, that if spiritually we're not made right with God, then there is no project I want to embark on. There's no reform I want to do. There's nothing economically, socially, there's nothing I can do that's going to restore the country to what it was meant to be, the glory of the country. So it said in verse 10 that it is in my heart now to make a covenant with the Lord. As you all know, we have a covenant that Jesus Christ has made with us. You know, he's died on the cross and now we have a covenant with him. So it's a new and it's a better covenant than the covenant that Hezekiah was referring to here. And that's what we have access to as believers. Scripture says in Philippians that it is God that works in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. God is working in you to will and to do. In this case, I'm pretty sure it was God that was working in Hezekiah's heart to will and to do. It was in his heart to make a covenant with the Lord. And this evening, I'm just trusting God that we'll all do the same. Reading on, I'm just going to skip verse 12 to 14. Then it's just talking about the Levites and the people that, you know, eventually, you know, did the cleaning process. So if we move on to verse 15, it says, they gathered their brothers together, consecrated themselves, and went according to the king's command by the words of the Lord to cleanse the Lord's temple. They gathered their brothers together and consecrated themselves. You know, that just speaks to me of maybe teamwork and partnership. One Levite or one priest wouldn't have been enough to do everything that was needed to be done. We're not going to have time to read, you know, much further into the chapter, but when we do, you'll see that even when they had to make sacrifices to atone for their sins, they needed extra hands. They needed the Levites to come and help them to do the sacrificing of all the plenty bulls and goats that, you know, were going to be offered for sacrifice. So it was sort of like them just gathering themselves and just saying that, you know what, come, we've been sitting on our backsides for too long. We've been unemployed for too long. The temple of God has been desecrated, has been defiled, and we've done nothing about it. Now let's ginger ourselves, as they say. You know, let's wake up. Let's get ourselves going. They encouraged each other and they consecrated themselves. You know, so we are a body of Christ. We're a family. And it's very possible that, you know, one person might be, you know, feeling left behind. You know, you're hearing all this thing about decluttering. I may even look to the physical eyes like maybe some people are further along, you know, in their journey. It just seems like, you know, for some people, everything just seems to be going smoothly at this point. At least that's the way it might look to the physical eyes. But we have a responsibility to help each other, you know, to encourage each other, to reach out to our brothers, reach out to our sisters. You know, you see someone that, you know, the Spirit of God just tells you that something isn't quite right. You may not even be able to put a finger on it. You know, you have a responsibility to reach out to the person and say, is there something I can help you with? You know, what do you need help with? It can be anything. It might be something, you know, it might be something small, but it might be big to the person. The person might just need help with childcare. The person might just need help, you know, just, you know, a prayer partner for a bit. You know, the person might just need a bit like an accountability partner for a bit. The person might just need someone to help the person just a little bit along the journey. The person might just be struggling with something. I might just need someone to help along the journey. So it's just to remind ourselves that, you know, as much as our walk with God is an individual walk, we also belong to a family and we need to be looking out for our brothers and sisters. Okay, so verse 16, the priests, and then, you know, just to say that, and verse 15, and they went according to the king's command by the words of the Lord. It's, you know, we can't run away from it. Everywhere we go, we keep running into it, the words of the Lord. You know, not just Hezekiah's words, but the words of the Lord. Hezekiah echoed the words of the Lord, and the Levites and the priests, they picked up on it because it sounded familiar. It was something they could relate with. They knew that this was the word of God, and they acted on it. Verse 16, the priests went to the entrance of the Lord's temple to cleanse it. They took all the unclean things they found in the Lord's sanctuary to the courtyard of the Lord's temple. Then the Levites received them and took them outside to the Kidron Valley. So again, you see a lot of partnership and teamwork. The priests went into the temple, they brought things out to the courtyard outside, and then it was the Levites who took those things to the Kidron Valley to dispose of them. So again, you know, we might need to walk this year as a team. There are things that God is going to tell you to do individually. You know, no doubt about that. There are things that he wants you to just walk out, you know, with him, you know, one-on-one. There are certain things that he would want you to do in partnership, do with other people. You know, and if you don't have that awareness, if you're not sensitive to those things, then you might miss those opportunities for you to partner with other people so that the work of God can be done. This can take various shapes. You know, it might be a church thing, formal church thing, But it may also be, your job, your career. You might need to just enter partnerships with the right kinds of people. You need to be trusting God. I need to be asking God to show you who those people are, so that you can identify those opportunities. Verse 17, they began the consecration on the first day of the first month, and on the eighth day of the month, they came to the portico of the Lord's temple. They consecrated the Lord's temple for 8 days, and on the 16th day of the first month, they finished. Now, while they finished, remember, this was a physical temple. We are the temple of God. So in our own case, it doesn't really finish in that sense. So in church, we've been doing this thing where for the first 16 days, we've been just waiting on God and praying about decluttering and things that we want God to remove from us. But it doesn't stop. We won't get to the 16th of January, for instance, and say decluttering over, next phase or something. It's an ongoing thing and it varies from person to person, but you just need to engage with the process, basically. Verse 18, and they went inside to King Hezekiah and said, "We have cleansed the whole temple of the Lord, the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils, and the table for the rolls of the bread of the presence and all its utensils. We have set up and consecrated all the utensils that King Ahaz rejected during his reign when he became unfaithful. They are in front of the altar of the Lord." Now, this is where we're going to stop today. But verse 18 says, and they went inside to King Hezekiah and said, so they gave a report at the end of what they had done. And it's just to remind us, that we are all going to give a report. Many of us know this, but that's why we have studies like this, to remind ourselves of God's word. We serve a God to whom everybody's going to render accounts. That's what the Bible says. People's all your works are just going to be before God. In this case, the Levites basically presented a report of what they had done. And when they talked about, how they had purified the temple and, cleaned the utensils and consecrated things, the scripture that comes to my mind is this one in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, sorry, let me just find 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 to 21. 2 Timothy 2 from verse 20 to 21. Now it says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some of honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work." Take a minute to read those verses again to yourself. So basically, in a great house, there are vessels, vessels unto honor, vessels unto dishonor. So there are always going to be vessels. So it says, if any man cleanses himself, so the responsibility, just like we said at the beginning, the opening of the temple, you have to do it. If any man cleanses himself, the cleansing itself is done by God through his word. But you're the one that needs to make that decision to do the sanctification, to do the cleansing. Spirit, the word of God says that his spirit will not always strive with man. So God has given you free will. It's when you hear things like this, hear messages like this, you have to make that decision that am I going to just be a hearer of the word or am I going to be a doer? It's the point, is the extent to which you decide to engage with the word. It's the extent to which you decide to cleanse yourself, to just do what the word of God says, do what the Holy Spirit is telling you. It's the extent to which you decide to do that, then you can be made a vessel unto honor. That's when you can be useful unto every good work. I'm going to read a couple more scriptures and then we're just going to tie things up and pray. I'm going to read from John 17, 17 to 19. John chapter 17, 17 to 19. This was Jesus Christ praying for disciples and praying for us. He said, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified by the truth." So it's basically saying that the truth is the word of God and the sanctification is done by the word of God. Ephesians chapter 5 from verse 25 to 27. Ephesians chapter 5 from verse 25 to 27. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to sanctify her, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a glorious church without stain or wrinkle or any such blemish, but holy and blameless. So these scriptures are basically telling us that, we need to be sanctified by the word of God. It may sound cliche, it may sound like something you've heard over and over, but what I would like every one of us to do is, reflect and think about your own life and ask yourself, how is the word of God sanctifying me? In this decluttering process that we've been talking about, to what extent is the word of God bearing out? To what extent is the word of God being fulfilled per time in my life? It's very important we ask ourselves these questions because, like I said, one of the big dangers of being in church is that sometimes we get caught up in playing church, where we start going through religious exercises without actually properly engaging with the Spirit of God. Which is why sometimes I'm sure you've probably heard that. That things like, oh, God sometimes finds it easier to use people who are not even saved and have just been saved, because their heart is just a blank slate. He tells them to do this and they do it, as opposed to people who have been in church for a long time and, have just developed some sort of familiarity with him. So that's the question really for us. I'm going to also read Romans 12, 1 to 3, a scripture we all know very well. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So basically, the point I'm trying to make from here is, over time, as we engage with God's word, as we interact with his word, with his presence, we will begin to, the decluttering process will almost become seamless. I don't know, it will be like an ongoing, almost like an automated process, just going on in the background, decluttering. It will just keep happening because you're constantly engaging with his word and in, with his, with the presence of God, with the Spirit of God. That's the ideal. That's, where God wants to take us. That's where we should be. Where you don't have to go 3 years of struggling with all sorts of clutter, and then you now get to a point where you are, it's over your head, you're drowning in clutter, you're struggling, and then you're not like, oh God, help me, help me, help me. And then, it doesn't have to be that way. And this is the ideal. So this is what God wants from us. He wants us to constantly be sanctified by his word, constantly wash ourselves, wash your mind, wash your thoughts, wash your habits, wash your mindsets. Just keep washing it with his word. Keep applying the word of God into your life. Keep using what God's word says about you, or how you should be. And you keep doing that every day, which is why, we pray daily, for instance. I one of the reasons we do that is just so that we can constantly keep engaging with his word. But that's, on a corporate level, but individually, by yourself, as you walk with God this year, God is basically encouraging us that this decluttering process is an ongoing thing, something that's going to be guided by his word. So the story we just read from King Hezekiah, we see how God's word guided, him in terms of the decisions he made and how he went about decluttering the temple of God. So he had the word of God as his guide. He didn't just do it based on how he felt. He didn't just say that, okay, well, okay, open the gates, or maybe even go in personally and just say that, with so much fervor and zeal. He understood that, okay, well, it's the Levites and priests that are supposed to do this. How did he know that? It was God's word. And as we see later in the chapter, all the subsequent steps he took in terms of making the sacrifices, rededicating the temple, reinstituting worship in the temple, they were all guided by the word of God. So whatever it is you're dealing with, whatever it is I'm dealing with, I have to be guided by God's word in terms of how I deal with it, in terms of how I sort it out, in terms of, where I start, how do I start, where what things need to be thrown away, what things need to be rearranged, how, what's the process going to look like for me? It's only God's word that will tell me. My pastor can't tell me. It's just we just need to see this year. God is calling us to, a walk with Him where I mean, we've said it. Our theme for the year is being transformed from glory to glory. So, what's glory previously looked like or felt like for you is going to be different going forward. It's going to change going forward, and it's going to change based on your interaction, based on your exposure, based on your. Based on just based on how closely you work with God. So the summary of everything, I've basically tried to say this evening is that, God's word should be our decluttering guide. We've highlighted a few things here and there that hopefully, may or may not, I don't know, apply to us or maybe apply to someone you know. It may just be a lesson for the future, just something that you just hide in your heart. So what do we need to do? We need to see God's face. Good enough, we've called a fasting period has been called. We're on the second day of the 50-day fast. So it's a good time for us to seek God's face concerning specific situations in your life, specific things that have been identified. The Holy Spirit has identified as clutter in your life. It's a good time to seek His face and use God's word as a guide in terms of how you deal with those things. So what I would encourage us to do is just make this thing very practical. Go into God's word. It's going to take time. It's going to take effort. It's something that a lot of us don't want to engage with. Sometimes we just want this microwave kind of, Christianity. We just want instant solutions. Okay, God, I'm just going to bring out this Saturday, just this Saturday, me and you, from morning to night, I'm going to pray. I'm going to do this. And then I want solutions for that will last me till, I don't know, maybe till the end of the year. That's not how God does these things. So it's going to require commitment from you. It's going to require a time commitment, an effort commitment. You'll need to engage with this. But God promises that, when you do this, you're going to be sanctified by His word. You're going to start seeing the results. You're going to make yourself into a vessel unto honor. And, when you think about all the results you want as a Christian, the things you want to see in your life, the successes that you want to see, the achievements, in your personal life, in your career, in your relationships, in whatever sphere of your life, all those things, are dependent on the extent to which you are going to engage with Him. Secular people, people, unbelievers and people that are maybe not in the faith, many of them get results. And sometimes I feel like Christians look at those things and they want to get the same results. And, many of us, start doing the same things that they are doing to get those results. So they cut corners, we cut corners. They lie, we lie. They scheme, we scheme. We just copy them. We do the same things, just so that we can get the same results. And many times I wonder, is it a lack of faith or what's the issue? Do we not feel that we have a God that can give us the same results if only we will pay the price, if we're ready to do what's needed? So that's the encouragement from today's, study. I believe that that's what the Word of God, that's what the Spirit of God is telling us in this time, that for as many are going to put in the work, put in the time, open the doors of your temple, open the doors of your heart, go through the process of consecrating yourself, consecrating everything around you, consecrating your mind, consecrating your thoughts, looking at all those things, going through the process of analyzing, doing the audit, analyzing how you got to the point where you are, whether there were things that were dropped in your heart, dropped in your spirit, things that were spoken into your life that you just unwittingly, without knowing, you just took on. Situations that were no making of yours, no fault of yours, you just walked into, and so on and so forth. Whatever constitutes clutter for you. I feel like the Spirit of God is telling us that, for as many as will engage with the Word of God, as many that will allow the Word of God to sanctify them, to wash them, clean their thoughts, clean their hearts, clean their mind, clean their emotions, clean their spirit. As many as will allow the word of God to do that, those are the people that are going to experience those results. The decluttered heart, the decluttered space that we all want to, achieve, those are the people that are going to get those results. So let's just pray and we thank God for everything He's spoken to us or He's still speaking to us. And I would just like you to just pray, whichever way you feel the word of God has come to you this evening, whatever it is that you feel you need to do, from this point going forward, as a result of the things you've heard, begin to commit them to God. Begin to ask God to help you. Begin to just make those decisions. You might need to make some very radical decisions right now as you're praying and as we speak. And those decisions may look painful at this time, but the result is that you're going to be transformed into glory. You're going to experience the fullness of God. You're going to become a vessel unto honor, fit for the master's use. That's the end result. So you might need to despise the shame. You might need to put up with, temporary inconveniences, whatever that might look like for you. If you cut certain relationships, the benefits you previously got from those relationships, you might need to suffer the consequence of not having them for a season, for a time. These things, throughout the retreat period, we just got a sense that, there's almost sort of like a sifting process that's going on, where God is basically selecting people that are ready to walk with him, where God is ready, is just sort of like picking out, just selecting, bringing out the people that are willing to walk with him, go with him on this journey, toil with him, walk with him, fight the good fight in this season. And it's not partiality on God's side. It's not God looking at, okay, playing favorites or anything like that. It's you. Scripture says that he that cleanses his heart. So it's really in your hands. God has put it in your hands. God has put it in my hands. The decision is yours to make right now. And just like we prayed last week, if it's the case that you don't even know God or you don't have a relationship with God, or let's say you had a relationship with him and you've fallen so far, you've gone, you've just left things for too long. And it's gotten to the point where you don't even recognize yourself right now. You don't know what it is you're doing. You can't tell your left from your right. You're just in a state of flux, or you're just in a state of confusion. You've come to the right place, and you're the reason why Jesus Christ came. You're the reason why we are having this study this evening. You're the reason why we've talked about everything we've talked about. God loves you. He loves you more than you'll ever know. And it's out of his love that he's just reaching out to you and just saying that, just come back to me and retrace your steps. So like the Levites did, like the priests did, they had been unemployed for so long. They had been, going about their business, and maybe we've been doing the same, but they consecrated them, their hearts, and they were fit for use. They were able, God was able to use them to clean out the temple. So no matter how bad things have gotten, no matter how far you've fallen, God is reaching out to you. He's reaching out to me this evening, and he's just saying that, just consecrate your heart, just dedicate yourself to me. Just say that, I'm going to make you Lord and Master. You're going to be in charge of my life, and you're going to call the shots. You're going to control the way I think. You're going to control the way I spend my money. You're going to control the way I use my time. You're going to control my movements, where I go and how I go, my decision making, how I react to people, how I deal with people, how I treat people. You're going to be in charge. The word of God is going to determine how I do all these things. If you can just do that, then the rest is easy. God will take care of the rest. The scripture says that, if we make him a priority, we seek him first, we seek his kingdom first and his righteousness, every other thing will be added unto you. Thank you, Lord, for today's study. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you've reinforced in our hearts, or you've reminded us of, or things that we've even learned for the first time. Lord, may we be doers of your word and not just hearers, in Jesus' name. Amen.